Have you found your purpose yet? Does it feel like something you're constantly searching for? That you're just on the edge of finding it, close, but then it seems to evade you? It is frustrating beyond belief to have that feeling that you know there's a deeper reason for your being, but you're not able to fully understand what that invisible string is that's pulling you through life. But rest assured, you do have a purpose. And today's guest will help you clarify what yours is through the tools of human design and self-development. Welcome to Unleash Your Inner Creative with Lauren LaGrasso. I'm Lauren LaGrasso. I'm a Webby Award-winning podcast host and producer, singer-songwriter, public speaker, and multi-passionate creative. This show sits at the intersection of creativity, mental health, self-development, and spirituality, and it is meant to give you tools to love, trust, and know yourself enough to claim your right to creativity and pursue whatever it is that's on your heart. Today's guest is Emma Dunwoody. She's a human design expert, master coach, behavioral specialist, and the host of the Human Design Podcast, which is the number one global human design podcast. She wakes people up to the power within them using her unique method of transformational human design, a system of self-knowledge and guidance that tells you how your unique energy and being is meant to exist in the world. Emma and I are very aligned. I truly love her goal to help people unlock their inner wisdom, take their power back, and feel deeply confident in the decisions they make. If everyone could do this, we would be living in a very different, much more beautiful world. I also love that she speaks about human design in a way that is really expansive and optimistic. There's no fear-mongering in her method, and it is really a people-first approach. It gives the power back to the individual rather than to any constriction in the system, which sometimes I see people doing online and I find icky. She is like the opposite of that, and it actually makes me love human design and really feel like it's an expansive system to be in. Our chat explores themes of honesty, love, and embracing one's true purpose. She even gives me a mini reading live on air, which is very cool and will help you read your own chart. From today's chat, you'll learn how to find your purpose, the importance of knowing and honoring your most authentic self, what human design is and how to use it in your life, how to find abundance, and so much more. Okay, now here she is, Emma Dunwoody. Emma, thank you so much for being on Unleash Your Inner Creative. You have such an amazing creative story and journey, and I'm really grateful for what you do for other people out in the world to have their own story and journey as well. So thank you for being here.
Oh, amazing. I'm so excited to be here. So thanks for having me.
Ah, my honor. I want to start out with your story and purpose. I know you took a long walk, quite literally, to get to where you are. And so I'm curious, how did you come to human design? And how did you find and build your purpose in tandem with that?
So I actually found my purpose, I would say, more than a decade before I realized I found my purpose. And I think this is what so many people are doing. You know, they're trying to discover something through the mind that is already there. It's tapping them on the shoulder. They're living it every day. It's just that they're living it through the lower expression or the fear expression or the conditioned or the trauma or whatever it is. So my journey, 20 years ago, actually, I was diagnosed with depression and panic disorder, which I was given this diagnosis that I would never heal from it, but I'd learned to manage it. And at the time, that just was not an option for me. And obviously, everybody's story is different, but for me, it just wasn't an option. So I dived super deep into really understanding why I did what I did. Like, I was convinced that if I could work out how I got myself into that chair, that diagnosis, that I could work out how to get myself out of it. And I was absolutely right. So I kind of dived down the rabbit hole, everything to do with the brain, human behavior, psychology, quantum physics, neuroscience, all of it. And ultimately, I healed my mental health, which was amazing. And I transformed a lot of my life. In the process, I also transitioned out of advertising and I certified as a master coach. I created this amazing business working with corporate clients. And I just found myself wondering why I didn't feel better on the inside. You know, like I feel like there was still something missing, yet I completely transformed my life. I'd healed my mental health. I knew I was never going back to depression and panic disorder, yet I still felt this hole inside of me. And at that time, as you alluded to, I had quite out of the blue, the Camino, which is a pilgrimage, an 800 kilometer walk, 500 miles. It had just called to me and I found myself in a very short period of time buying a ticket and all of a sudden with a backpack on my back with everything that I owned in it, walking this pilgrimage. And a part of that process was to fill this hole inside of me, which was my purpose. I mean, I've been very aware since I can remember, like I'm talking a very young child. I knew I was here to do something important. So I'd always been searching for what that thing was. And although I had done all the work that all my mentors, all the people out there, all the experts had told me to do, I felt like there was this hole inside of me. Because I felt like as I retrained and everything, I'm like, I get that I'm on purpose. Like I know I'm heading in the right direction, but there was this piece missing. I'd said to the universe at the end of my pilgrimage, I'm like, I feel like I'm like 86% there, universe, but I need you to be clearer, like so clear. How do I get this real clarity of purpose? Anyway, I get home and within 48 hours, everyone is asking me about human design. And the thing that was crazy was that it wasn't big then. It wasn't popular. No one was talking about it. And two other people had introduced it to me months before I walked the Camino. And I was like, eh, and I'd put it down. Even though I could see it was powerful, I didn't like the language. I'm a line three. I didn't like what they said about that. I'm an emotional authority. I didn't like what they said about that. And so there was so much that I kind of just disregarded. Anyway, because I'd set this intention with the universe that, well, I promise I'll commit to whatever you tell me it is. And human design was the thing. And I Googled like best human design teacher or something like that in Australia. She happened to live one suburb away from me. I'm like, that's weird, right? So I just followed the bouncing ball. And then before I knew it, I was integrating human design into my corporate business, helping corporate clients. I was already using a behavioral profiling tool and the human design blueprint just trumped it. You know, it just got results faster. It got us to authenticity. And ultimately, human design has helped me understand purpose on a much deeper level. You know, knowing that my purpose is so fundamentally about my insights because, you know, it's not my doing, it's my being. It's these other things. And I think really that's the beauty of human design is that it gives us this specificity that everything else doesn't give us.
So what is your purpose? Like what, if you had to put it in a sentence, what is it?
So I love this question because for years I'm like, I just want a sentence. Someone just give me a sentence. Like, and I tried and I know all the people out there listening, they're like, oh, I've been there. And you pick a word or you pick a sentence and you're like, yeah, that's it. And one of the things for me with human design, my design, I actually have a wide open G center. That means that I have no definition in my G center, which is all about direction. And what that means is that I can fulfill my purpose in any which way. Like all I have to do is follow my strategy and authority and what lights me up and listen to my emotional authority. And I could take one of many paths. The specific difference and my purpose is that I feel whole every single day. I feel lit up and excited by the work I do. My purpose is all about empowering people, breaking people out of their conditioning, and empowering them. You know, one of the things for me is I believe that we are all our own guru. We have got to stop looking to all the gurus and getting them to tell us what to do and instead find that power inside of us. You know, that Wayne Dyer quote, and I think it came before Wayne Dyer, but he's the guy who said it. You know, that we have all the answers within us. And that used to do my head in because I was like, I know that it feels true, but how do I get at them? And human design's been a large part of accessing that. So for me, I'm on purpose every single day. I'm lit up. I'm excited. I'm changing the world. The thing that, you know, little five-year-old Emma always wanted to do. And at the same time, I'm, you know, riding the life roller coaster, becoming the better and better and better version of myself as I heal the trauma and the shadow and the fear along the way.
For those that don't know, I mean, I have done an episode about human design and anyone listening, go back and listen to it. It was with the DeLuna girls. And I just want to give a brief overview to like bring everybody into the same world. We don't have to go into all the types and everything, but let's set a base level of what is human design?
I love this question. So I think the best way to talk about human design is we all know these personality and behavioral profiling tools. We've all done our Myers-Briggs, you know, maybe we've done strengths, maybe we've done DISC profiling. And what do? They give us this outline of our behavior. Now, what human design is actually our energetic blueprint. When we fill out any of these other profiling tools, we have to do it with the mind. We answer questions about who we think we are. And what happens is at the end, we get this profile, but there's a gap. You know, there's a cognitive dissonance between who we think we are and who we actually are. With human design, it's our energetic blueprint. So the mind isn't getting involved. It's actually showing us how we're energetically designed to move through life. It's also showing us specifically what our superpowers are. It's going to show us our fears, our challenges. It's going to show us the significant themes of our purpose. And the deeper we go, we can get real specificity. So it's really our energetic blueprint. And I'm sure you covered this with the Daylunar girls, but mathematically what happened is they've mapped, and I say they because it was a channeled piece of information, they've mapped together Western astrology, the Chinese I Ching, the Hindu chakra system, and the Kabbalah tree of life, mathematically put them together. Like no human brain could do that in 8 days. Like it's this incredible piece of information that brings all of this ancient wisdom that ultimately gives us our soul's purpose and, you know, our personality, our incarnated purpose.
I love it. It was interesting. I heard you talk on a recent podcast about how when you first heard about human design, you kind of were like, ick, I don't know. You're a manifesting generator. You're like, I want to be a projector. I find this hilarious because I'm a projector. And when I heard about human design, my literal quote to my friend was, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I love it.
I wanted to be a manifesting generator. I always say, like, I feel like I'm a manifesting generator on the inside. But it was interesting in that podcast because you talked about how it's like you're kind of denying your own authenticity when you have that kind of reaction. For those of us that learn about this modality and have a reaction like that, what's something we can start to do to get in better acceptance of who we really are?
I love this. This is so cool. So at the end of the day, what I've experienced personally and with the thousands of people I've worked with now is so often when we get to that, oh, this is bullshit moment with our human design, oftentimes it's just a representation of where we actually resist ourselves. It's where we resist being us. You know, for me, I was diagnosed really young with dyslexia. So I had this identity of being stupid. So as an adult, after the age of about 30, I have strived to build my intelligence. So of course, when I hear about a projector, I'm like, well, I want to be told that I'm a projector because my shadow, my inner child has busted her butt my entire life to look intelligent. Whereas what I was resisting is that I'm actually messy and nonlinear and experimental and all of these things that actually feel delicious to me, but the whole world wouldn't accept me if I was those things. So oftentimes we're just resisting the truth of who we are. We're actually resisting these pieces because our identity, our conditioned self, who we learnt we needed to be between the age of 0 to 7 to receive love, nurturing, and acceptance, that collides with our human design. So the best thing to do is just be really kind and gentle with yourself and say, well, if I was resisting this, what am I specifically resisting? As I said, for me, for example, I was resisting the fact that I'm actually a nonlinear being, that I can be messy, that I can make mistakes, like all of those things. And that I have this powerful energy. I'm Australian. We have this thing in Australia. It's like tall poppy syndrome is very big here. You don't want to stand out, all of those things. So there was so much of my conditioning that was saying, yeah, nope, step away. Don't do it. But the moment you actually get in and you run your experiment, and all you have to do in the beginning is follow your strategy and authority, and you start to see, like, actually, the truth is I feel that this resonates with me. I feel that this is true. And when I relax and surrender to the experiment, well, in my experience and so many people I've worked with, like, magic happens.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, I'm experimenting with the possibility that it could be true right now. So something interesting happened even with this podcast swap that you and I are doing. Your representative had reached out to me about coming on my podcast, and I was going to say yes, but I'm like, I wonder if Emma would ever want to do a podcast swap. I'm like, well, I'm like, maybe I'll ask. And then without me even saying anything, your person wrote and like, oh, and she'd love to do a podcast swap with you too. And I'm like, well, that was interesting. I waited for the invitation.
And this is the beauty of human design, is it's an experiment. It's not a dogma. And the thing that I want to say to everyone is, like, I don't want you to take all the information. I mean, God knows, we just got this comment on one of my Insta posts this week. Like, I just paid so much money to get all the information I can get from you for free. And I'm like, Yeah, because it's not about the information. The information is now readily available. It's how you experiment and integrate that matters. It's the experiment itself that's the most important thing. And when, like, you've just had evidence, the brain needs evidence to change. Like, being a behavioral change specialist, these are the things we have to be doing hand in hand. So you now have evidence that you can think about it, so you can have an inspiration. But if you just took a breath, you just took a beat, you wondered, you just didn't take action. And of course, then the invitation came. So energetically, everything that you do with a clear invitation just happens easily. It flows. It's going to just take its natural ebb and flow. When you don't, you're going to feel like you're either, you know, pushing shit uphill, or you're not being seen and recognized, or no one's listening to you. But the moment you wait, all of a sudden you are the, you know, the guide, the guru, the awesome human that you're here to be, and being seen and recognized for that.
So I want to ask you about that. How literal do you think we have to be with our strategy and authority? Is there any wiggle room with that?
Ultimately, it comes down to each one of our individual charts. So the muscle we want to build is our strategy and authority, okay? But one of the things that I think stops people in their experiment most often is exactly what you just said. Like, is there any wiggle room? What if I mess it up? Like, I mean, I'm a line three, so I'm all about getting messy, getting an experiment. The reality is you're already doing it. You're already living your strategy and authority, just unconsciously and probably not as well as you could. So at the end of the day, especially when we first come to our experiment, we want to just give it a shot. Like, whether we think, is that an invitation? Or, you know, I had someone who works with me. She's been in her experiment a really long time. She said to me once, like, I feel like I got an invitation from, there was this whole big story, but from ants. She had this big story and there was like ants, and she was working with totem animals at the time. And I'm like, does it feel like an invitation? She's like, yep. And I'm like, well, then it's a freaking invitation. Give it a shot. And if it all goes, you know, to crap, then you'll know you've run the experiment. So the thing that I always say is that you need to just give it a shot, like take imperfect action towards your dreams. And the more that a projector waits for some sort of invitation, you know, like, you're going to recharge your batteries more quickly. You're going to get quality invitations. You're going to be seen and recognized more, but run the experiment and see what that means to you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I do things like that. I like call them energetic invitations. So it's really interesting. And what I love that you're doing for people is helping them become themselves and do that in all areas of their lives. So how can we use human design in our human design chart to get closer to our most authentic self?
At the end of the day, this is your energetic blueprint. The challenge is that what do we do? We have to learn it. So whether we're learning human design, or I use the gene keys a lot as well, or the gene keys, we're having to learn it with our mind. And most people just learn it with their mind, and then they run it with their mind, but they don't actually live it. So ultimately, within our design, as we go through the layers, like, first and foremost, let's just have a look at our type. So your energy versus my energy is going to be really different. Your container, I talk about type as the container of your purpose, right? So for you, it's all about being a guide. It's about seeing how energy is being used out there in the world and finding efficiencies. For me, it's about demonstrating, you know, human potential, about being this non-linear being. And then we can go down further. Okay, so what's our profile? So I'm a 3-5. So all of a sudden, I know that my purpose is about experimentation, problem solving, and leadership. So the deeper we go into our design, the more authentic we become, because we're like, oh God, that just feels so true. There are things like my story, for example, in my personality sun, I have the gate 37. I'm an only child. I'm an introvert. If someone had said to me, community is your superpower, I would have gone, are you kidding me? Like, I just want to hang out on my own. But he gave me this opportunity to go, again, because I'm a behavioral specialist, I do a lot of integration. So the way our brain works, it deletes, distorts, and generalizes information dependent on our identity and our beliefs. So what I do is we restore our deletions a lot. So what that means is we go through this process where I'll say, well, where in the past has community, for example, or friendship been my superpower? And I'm like, oh, wow, like this and here and the community I build around myself. And all of a sudden, I see all of this evidence of where I've already been myself. I've already been in alignment. Then the deeper we go, we can see even the way I've built my business, for example, there's a specific place in the design where depending on the line number you have, it's kind of the culture. And I have a line 4, which is all about networking. And one of the challenges I had as I started to grow my business is I was like, I really want to bring all these other people into my business. But all the marketing gurus were like, you need to be the one answer. You don't want to, you know, be giving your audience away to someone else. And I was like, oh, it just doesn't feel right. So I ran my experiment. And of course, my business grew because it was there in my design. I already felt it inside of me and I followed my strategy and authority. So our design goes super, super deep. It's just whether or not we're willing to run the experiment and trust almost our biofeedback. We have to get out of the head and into the body and then take action on what we feel.
Hi, creative. If you're like me, even when you're doing your best to concentrate on whatever your creative project may be, you're not always 100% focused and you're not always getting everything done as quickly, efficiently, and honestly, as creatively as you need to. So I found the perfect solution. There's this little shot called Magic Mind, and it has improved my energy and concentration so much. I like it because it makes me more productive and more focused. I get more done in less time thanks to the nootropics inside that improve attention, concentration, and cognition. I have less stress and anxiety, which as you know is huge for me. A big part of that is because Magic Mind helps me get more done, but it's also because it contains a compound called L-theanine that naturally reduces your body's stress levels, which is huge. My favorite ingredient in it by far is also another one that helps with stress. It's called ashwagandha. It's an adaptogen that reduces stress and anxiety. I recently took it right before an interview I had. I was feeling so sluggish, so tired and cloudy before. It just snapped me out of that and honestly helped me conduct one of the best interviews I've done in a long time. And great news, the Magic Mind team created an amazing offer for me to share with you. You can get up to 56% off your subscription in the next 10 days and 20% off your one-time purchase with code INNERCREATIVE. You can get it at magicmind.co/innercreative and redeem discount code INNERCREATIVE. But hurry up because the 56% off discount only lasts 10 days from our episode airing date. Check it out and let me know what you think. So as you were talking, I was thinking something. What is the head actually good for? Because it tells us so many lies throughout the day. So like, when do we actually want to integrate the head and when should it be below the neck?
I love that. So again, being like, I've worked on mindset for 20 years now. Our brain is actually an incredible supercomputer. The thing we need to understand is that we are conditioned to make it the leader. We're conditioned to put our mind first, like it knows everything, but it just doesn't. Limited access. It has access to the past. Okay. So our brain has access to the past. Our intuition, all of our internal senses, our strategy and authority, which is all about the communication between the universe and our internal guidance system. This has access to the quantum. So what is our mind good for? Thinking, but not for us. So oftentimes, like I'll give you an example, I don't have definition in the head and the ajna. So what that means is that what's my mind good for? Being open and receiving inspiration from others. And when I get that inspiration, it's like, well, what I do with that inspiration and depending on the rest of my design or how it shows up in my life, I'll know when to act on it or when to share it or when to whatever. Whereas take, for example, Taylor, who's my chief operating officer, she has definition. So her thinking is a gift to the planet. So the way she designs all the back end of the business, the strategy, all of those things, that is her superpower. But she doesn't use it to make decisions for herself. She uses her sacral because she's a pure MG. So her sacral is the thing that gets her through life and makes the decisions for her and makes a lot of business decisions for us too. But her thinking is all about, well, my thinking is for the business. My thinking is to help someone else. My thinking is to, you know, support something external. We often in human design will call it our outer authority when it comes to the mind. Does that answer your question?
I think so. And I guess on the flip side of that, for somebody who's very much in their head, how do they bring the energy down into their body?
I feel like I get this question the most. And I think that so many people struggle with this whole concept of, but how do I get back in the body? And my experience tells me that we've just, like everything, we've overcomplicated it. One of the people that I actually interviewed on my podcast, I was on her podcast, Michelle Chalfant. She's got the adult chair, which is her method. And one of the things that she does when she's working with people one-on-one, she literally gives them a cushion. She said, "I'll just put that on your lap." So the person puts the cushion on their lap and she's like, "Can you feel that on your lap? Tell me how it feels." And they'll be like, "Oh, well, it feels this, it feels that, it's cold, it's this." She said, "You're in your body." At the end of the day, it's so easy to get in our body. We've just overthought it. It can be as simple as I'm always banging on, like, just do a body scan before you go into a room. When you're in there, just be really aware of what you're feeling. Notice when you sit in the chair. Notice when you maybe put your hands on the desk, because then you're in your body. You're paying attention to what's going on. And I recently just interviewed Bruce Lipton, and he reminded me, and I've heard him say it before, I've read it in his books, he uses the driving metaphor a lot. So oftentimes we will drive from A to B and we'll get to B and go, "Oh my goodness, I have no idea how I got here." You were just lost in your own mind. So there you're in the head. But the moment you choose to look out the window, that you're conscious, you're looking in front of you, you're paying attention, maybe looking over your shoulder as you're changing lanes, you're noticing that the sky is blue, all of a sudden you are in your body, you are in the experience at the time. So it's actually not that hard. It's just that we have so little practice at it these days that it's almost like we don't know if we are or we're not, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I think, yeah, like just the fact that most of us are multitasking or thinking about five things at once, it's hard to be in the body, but you're right. It is so much more simple. Like Thich Nhat Hanh said, like, the key to loving yourself is to breathe and remember you have a body. And you know what? It's true.
Yep, it's so true. You know, this is why the greats, the real greats are the greats, because they simplify everything down to their fundamentals. And that's it. I teach a lot around abundance. And one of the first things I teach is you've got to get in touch with everything that you have in abundance already. Mm. I mean, we're breathing air. We have an abundance of oxygen. You know, we are lucky in so many cases in the Western world because we have water, you know, we have electricity, we have so much in abundance, yet we focus on what we don't have. And I think that's the same with the body. Like, if we want to get in the body, notice where you're already in the body. Like, we can all feel our clothes on our body. So start there.
You know, you touched on abundance just now. And those are some great tips for just things you can do in your physical body. But I know there's also parts of the human design chart that you can use to manifest and to bring greater abundance into your life. Could we go through a few of those?
Yeah, sure. So I probably teach it a little bit differently. We do have this certain gates and channels in the human design chart that are more focused on money. So we've got like the 45-21. These are two of the money gates, and it's also a channel. If you have those, then you have this consistent ability to kind of draw money in that way. We've also got the gate 14, which is all about power skills, which is you'll get paid when you do your thing your way. So again, that can be a real tap turn on of resources when you're really true to yourself. We also have the 53-32, which is ambition. Again, like when you're in alignment, you just easily and effortlessly draw in money, and even more when you're really aligned to your values and the meaning. And of course, we have the gate of abundance, which I'm coming to. One of the things that we need to understand is that we all have the capacity to attract as much abundance into our life as possible. But we have to actually understand that abundance and gate 55 in human design, which is the gate of abundance. And I would say my greatest teacher, like I really started to earn more money and build my investments and become a wealthy human when I studied the 55. Because what the 55 says is that abundance is freedom. Abundance is the freedom to be us. And when we choose to be authentically ourselves, then we can't help but be money magnets. It's easy, and it's definitely my experience. And it's not to say that I don't have ups and downs with money, but what is crazy is like when I have any money challenges, it's like the universe just rises up to solve them because I'm in my authenticity. So at the end of the day, I also think one of the big players that keeps us in scarcity as a race is our relationship to time.
Mm.
Now, I don't think too many people talk about this, but we're taught from the moment we pop out that we live in this Newtonian time. There's a 24-hour clock and it's counting down every single day. And just think about that, like feeling the time pressure the whole time. that feeling of like, I never have enough time. I'm always rushing around. I'm always in a hurry. Well, that's your frequency. At the end of the day, if you want to attract more abundance, more money, more finance, more opportunities, more anything, then you need to feel abundant. You need to feel like you already have more than you need. We want to improve our relationship with time. And it's funny, episode I did on my podcast just last week was this little mini time experiment, getting people just to allot more time to the things that they already do in a day. The mind, the ego is like, how could I possibly do that? I already don't have enough time. But the truth is that when we give ourselves a little bit more time, for example, I always use the shower. You know I can get in and out of the shower. In fact, I've just proven it before this podcast. I can get in, out, do my hair, get my makeup on in 15 minutes flat, done. But who am I when I get to the end of it? I'm frazzled and I'm rushed, and that's my frequency, scarcity, not enough time. However, the moment I choose to give myself, like I will often give myself 45 minutes. So at about half an hour, I'm coming out of the bathroom. I'm like, oh, wow, I've still got time. I might prepare, or I might have a cup of tea, or I might whatever. And just think about the difference in my frequency. Like it's a completely different frequency. And at the end of the day, we live in a quantum reality. So what's quantum? Quantum physics is the most repeatable, therefore most reliable and provable science we have on the planet. And we now know that we live in a quantum reality that has a direct impact on time, because time isn't linear. In a quantum world, all time is happening now. And the example that we can have in the 3D world is, think about the last time you hung out with your favorite person or did your favorite thing. Like time just flew. You were completely immersed. And then compare that to the last time you did something hard or you were scared or something hurt and the time just went so slow. That's quantum time. That's what we actually live in. So when we start to change our relationship with time and we surrender into our authenticity, which our design really helps us do, then all of a sudden we can't help but attract more money, because it's the frequency that we're operating at.
So good. I haven't heard anybody talk about that time thing, and that's really powerful. Something that I've really noticed about how you show up in the world is that you are one of the few women I know in general, but certainly in the spiritual space, who is open about money. You actually tell people, I make seven figures. And it was so refreshing to hear somebody just say it, because even myself, like, I can be close to the vest about money. It still feels really scary to me. Why is it important to you to be transparent about that? And additionally, why is it important for all women to be transparent about that?
Oh my God, I could not love you more than I love you right now, Lauren. This is such an important question. I'm really, really honest about my money. I'm really honest about how much I make. I'm honest about my challenges. I'm honest about, we teach a whole wealth program in my membership with my wealth coach, the spiritual investor. You should so go look her up, people, Elizabeth Ralph. And the thing is that women are so conditioned to be powerless around money. We are conditioned not to talk about it. We're conditioned to be taught that we're stupid, that we don't know. We're conditioned not to ever ask about it. I mean, I grew up in a family that you just didn't ask. You didn't ask about money. You didn't ask if you could have money. You didn't ask if we had money. I was just like, well, I go to a good school and I, you know, we live in a nice place. So I suppose we're middle income, or I don't know. And at the end of the day, it's a way that women have been kept powerless. We've been kept in this place where we think we don't know. And especially over the last 18 months, I've been really vocal about it, because not only has I've had great success in my business, and I do talk about even my months, you know, like we're smashing 100K months at the moment. And, you know, we do the work. We've done the work internally. We do the work externally. I've got an incredible team. But what's even more important than that is that I've asked all the questions that I'm afraid of. And every time there's another question about money that I'm afraid of, I'm like straight on to Elizabeth. I'm like, okay. And just recently, so I'm working with her on an investment portfolio. And I didn't know that investing was so freaking easy. Like, you can get these apps, you can buy partial shares, you can buy one for $5. You can do all of these things. And I was saying to Elizabeth just last week, I'm like, so the thing is, I'm building this wealth but I don't know why I'm doing it. Like, when can I take it out and how much is it going to cost me? And I was like, bang, there, back in my conditioning. And I really do think the collective conditioning of women, that the moment we don't know, we get like a bunny in headlights and we just, oh, well, I just won't ask because that's what we shouldn't do. And at the end of the day, I know, you know, again, it's in my design, it's my north node or my personality sign. I know I am here to teach empowerment. So anything that I'm afraid of, anything that's been hard for me, anything that I've experimented and fallen down and got back up and then mastered, they're the things I have to empower in other people. And money's a big part of that.
Hi, creative. Are you yearning to share your story, expertise, and heart with the world? Well, I have some exciting news for you, and I want you to be amongst the first to hear this because I consider you a bestie. I am launching a podcasting course. It's called Podcasting for Self-Expression. It is a course and mastermind with live coaching to help you find your authentic voice and launch your dream podcast. During the course, I'll take you through everything you need to know to create a compelling show, from how to use your life story to find the topic you're meant to speak on, to how to find your podcast thesis statement, to the important technical aspects, to innovative ways to market your show, and more. I'm so excited to offer this because it really is different than anything else that's available on the market, because it looks at podcasting not only from a tactical standpoint, but also through the lens of self-development. That's what makes a compelling show, somebody who really knows who they are, who they want to connect with, and what their authentic voice sounds like. And in the course, I'm going to be using the same techniques I've employed to coach and produce dozens of hit podcasts like We Can Do Hard Things with Glennon Doyle, Unlocking Us with Brené Brown, Lauren Conrad Asking for a Friend, and this sweet show you're listening to right now, Unleash Your Inner Creative. If you're interested, you can find all the information on the show notes and at my website, laurenlegrasso.com. Just click the word course. I also want to let you know there are payment plans as low as $99 a month. That was really important to me. You can do that through Affirm and Afterpay. So check it out. I would be honored to have you in. One last thing. If you sign up by Monday, May 20th at 12 a.m. Pacific, you can get $200 off with the code EARLYBIRD. That's one word, EARLYBIRD, and a free half an hour one-on-one coaching session with me for being an early bird participant in this course. I would be honored to have you. So check out my website, go to laurenlegrasso.com, click on course, and type in the word EARLYBIRD at checkout to get $200 off and a free one-on-one coaching session with me. Can't wait to be in community with you even more and to help you bring your authentic voice into the world.
Well, I suppose the first thing we want to do is we want to identify, you know, what's holding you back. What am I afraid will happen if I ask this question? Because oftentimes, oh, you'll be shamed. Or for me, it was like, well, you should know that. Or you, it's none of your business. Because I think I was told it was none of your business as a child. So get really clear on what the fear is. Like, what specifically am I afraid will happen if I share? You know, I think with women as well, we are so afraid of shining that if we go out in the world and we're confident and we shine bright and we have money and we have success and we have a great relationship, the point is that we're so afraid to shine bright. I sat around a lunch table with three of my all-time legends, these three epic women, very successful entrepreneurs here in Australia. Globally, they're very successful. And I sat at this incredible lunch with all of these women and I just watched them as they almost like, not apologize, but they made themselves smaller. Are they really sure? They were really like not saying how awesome or how powerful or how much success they'd had. And I was like, wow, we need to change this. We need to change this. We don't need to be show-offs or showboating or, you know, I'm not a believer in, you know, fake it till you make it. I'm not a believer in any of that. But what we do need to do is be really honest with ourselves and the world. Like, yeah, I'm doing well most of the time. And other times I'm like in a puddle, like I'm a puddle, but hey, whatever. Because at the end of the day, there is so much untapped power in women and in men. But, you know, it's our time. It's our time to really rise up, access that power and start to talk about the things that we've never spoken about. Ask people how much something costs. I ask all of my friends, how much do you pay your team members? What's your money structure? I ask them all the questions. And I know when I was building my business, I was very particular about the pay structure I wanted for the way I run my team. And I just did it. now people are like, oh, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of building a business that way. And da 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 da. So at the end of the day, I say, get your close, your besties. Start with your besties, the people that you love and trust, because you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're probably going to want to vomit. They're probably going to want to vomit at some point. And just ask the uncomfortable questions and just start to build the muscle. Because really, it's none of it is hard. None of it is scary. Even when, like, I've had a really big, significant money thing happen recently. And I'm like, it'll be fine. I know it'll be solved faster than I expect it to be. And I know I've got this. I'll be fine.
Well, and the other thing is, when you are so honest and speaking about it, it also becomes, first of all, a non-issue. Like, in listening to it, I was like, oh, maybe this could be easy to talk about. And then second, it's an expander for people. So hearing you say what you've done in your business and like how you view money made me feel like I could do that too. So you really empower people doing that. And this thing that you said about shining the light, I think that that is so true. And you talk a lot about, we've talked a lot about purpose today, but in general, you talk a lot about how you can use human design to find your purpose. I listened to this really good episode you did. You talked about the Mars placement, the Venus placement, and the profile number. Could we go through that?
Yeah, sure. So this is some of my favorite parts in the chart. In fact, do you have your chart in front of you? Should we play along with your chart?
I downloaded it from your website. It's also, Emma, I want to tell you something. There's something on this chart that I've never seen on any other human design chart. And that is sense and motivation.
Yeah, there's some of your arrows.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me share this.
When it comes to purpose, at the end of the day, there are the macro things and there are the micro things. And of course, as I've said earlier, a large part of your purpose here on the planet is to ultimately be the guide, be the one that can see the efficiencies, see how things could run better, how they could be done. Like for me personally, I'm a manifesting generator. I get inspired into action. Off I go. I build. Someone like you comes along and I'm like, hey, can you help me? Because I know that you've got the knowledge I need to make this better, to get rid of superfluous things and to focus on what matters. So that's kind of like the macro for you. But I love to look at, there's a couple of places in the chart that I really love to look at. And one of them is your design Mars. And for you, yours is the 25 line three. And first and foremost, that line three piece for you. So your core talent, a large part of how you do this core talent is going to be experimental, okay? It's going to be through this process of experimenting, trying things out. And ultimately, your core talent is really also all about, and it's interesting because you have the Sphinx as well, I'll get to that. This gate is called the love of spirit. So what this is about is like, so here you are in the 3D world going, okay, well, what do I do? My purpose is what I do. Yet you have one of these gates that is very, who do I be? So a large part of your purpose, and everyone's purpose is about their being, not their doing. That's a whole nother topic. But for you, you're actually here to help people get closer to their higher selves, to connect to spirit, to unconditional love. That's a huge part of why you're here. In fact, it's your core talent. And so you're going to have experimentation of like, how do I do that? Especially as a 1-3 profile, there's going to be a lot of experimenting going on in your world. So a lot of your purpose as well, because we talk about the profile being your, in the original knowledge, they called it the costume of your purpose. I call it your how. Mm. So you move through life in a way that you always want to find the answers. And the reason you want to find the answers is because you want to create a really sturdy foundation. And you find answers through the knowledge, and you also find them through experimentation. Sometimes you don't even know what questions to ask until you have an experience, and then you're like, ah, okay, now I know what I want to research. Now I know what I want to ask. Does that all resonate with you?
Totally. 100%.
Yeah. And so a large part of your purpose is really about your, because again, you're a personal profile. So you've got the small number first, but you've actually got two lower trigram. Don't need to worry about that. Your purpose is very much about your life experience. So as you go through life, you got to focus on you, your journey, your challenge, your win, your relationships, your whatever. Because as you learn those things, you will share them with other people, but you have to focus on your journey first. If you have a big number first, then it's a little bit different because you're a transpersonal profile. So you're going to be external things that kind of guide you. And then the other thing, like you're a right angle cross of the Sphinx. which it's so weird. I just had someone ask me if I was this cross today. And one of the cool things about our incarnation crosses, especially if you know the cross of the person that comes into your life. So right now, the fact that we're right here having this conversation, that you've come into my life, I know that the universe is bringing me the energy for new direction, because the Sphinx is all about taking people in a new direction. So if we start to put the pieces together, your knowledge and experience helps you find your new direction. And when you find your new direction, and that direction is towards spirit, always to experience more love, that's going to be a primary driver for you. And when you go through this process, you're also going to help other people. Now, one of the big things to understand as a Sphinx is that you are going to have times in your life where you feel so lost that you're like, you don't even know what to do with yourself. And they even, in the knowledge, they do even use the word depression. And having been a person that did depression for a long time, I don't think that we can just kind of throw around that word. But you can get very, very low in these moments of feeling lost. But what I want to tell you is that they are actually your moments of course, creation, because just around the corner, the creation is here. The creation is going to show up for you. And I love that you even have this whole podcast on creativity, because the thing that makes you shine, that helps your vitality, is creativity, because you have the one in your design sun. The other thing from a money perspective, and this is bringing into the gene keys. So when we talk about the design Mars, we're talking about your vocation in the gene keys.
And for people that don't know, because I've just recently come into this, what are the gene keys? Because this is even just coming into the world. I know you've been at it for a long time, but I feel like people are just starting to know what it is. So tell people briefly, what is the gene key?
Human design was channeled by a guy, Ra Uruhu. Early on, when he was starting to teach human design, he had this young English guy called Richard Rudd. He went to the UK and he launched human design in the UK. Through this process, Richard kind of went, I think I kind of want to branch off and do my own thing. I've kind of channeled all this other knowledge. So cheers, Ra, but I'm going to go off in this direction. And he ended up channeling and creating the gene keys. So in human design, we call them the gates. In the gene keys, they're the gene keys. So they're the numbers that you see in your chart are represented by the gene keys. Now, the gene keys, they give us the shadow, the gift, and the siddhic state. So it's the journey, you know, from fear to love to spirit in each one of the gates, each one of the gene keys that we have. And then they have all these different sequences within it. So I once heard Richard and Kim, who I first trained with, they had this discussion that I thought really outlined human design and the gene keys beautifully. Human design is like the masculine. It's like the skeleton. It's like the structure. And the gene keys is like the feminine and the muscle and the skin, and it brings it to life. Yeah. So they work hand in hand together.
That so resonates, Emma, because when I read my gene key, I felt like I got a hug. Like, I still don't understand what it is, really. It felt so much more inviting to me. Like, human design felt like a kick in the ass.
Yeah.
And now that I'm understanding it, I'm like, okay, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just more of like a pat on the back and like, you've got this, bro. But the gene key felt like someone was combing through my spirit when I read it.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm a big believer in frequency. So one of the challenges with human design is that it was birthed into the world by a man who was very much in his shadow.
Yeah.
He, you know, brought in a lot of fear, a lot of unresourceful language attributed to human design. And of course, and a lot of competitive, like, he was known to be very competitive. Somehow Richard didn't kind of get, you know, a lot of people got kicked out. That wasn't Richard's story from what I've heard listening to Richard talk about it. And with the gene keys, it's different. Richard's a poet. He's very open-hearted. Any modality, any teacher, any spiritual guide, like anything that is being channeled through a human is going to have their, you know, a dash of them in it. So I think that's why the human design, like, I've done a lot of energetic work on human design. I had my kinesiologist say really early on, like, there's something not right about this human design. And I was like, I think it's Ra. I think that it's this, his energy. And the whole world of human design, I've seen a lot of really unresourceful, unnecessary, you know, crappy stuff happen. Yeah. Whereas with the gene keys, it's so supportive. I mean, Richard Rudd's right-hand person, the guy who does all the training with him, is training all the Gene Key sequence in our membership for us. You know, like they're coming and, you know, we pay him to come along and just teach to our community. So they're very open-hearted. They're beautiful like that. I think human design is changing and evolving. I think it's definitely, I mean, there's people like me. I know there's a lot of people that are just, I'm not up for the competitive stuff. I don't believe we have any time to mess around with that crap. We need to really all be aligned to our hearts and being the best version of ourselves, because that's what the planet needs from us right now.
That's so true. And you know what? It's a great point that you're making, because I feel that when I listen to you. When I listen to you and read your work, it feels the same way as it felt when I read my Gene Key. It feels like, oh, okay. Maybe it's going to be okay. Maybe it's like, it's actually gentler than I think. It's actually about tuning into myself versus I'm bad. Because honestly, when I first read about projectors, I felt like bad. I felt lesser than. And I think that's why I had the reaction of this is bullshit, because I was reacting to whatever that energy was that I was metabolizing. But the truth is, most of us in whatever creative outlet we're choosing, there's a lot of seedy, weird energy that those institutions, even creative outlets, were often built upon and that are woven into the structure of what it means to be whatever kind of artist or creative you're trying to be. And I think this is actually a brilliant example of writing a new narrative, like taking the core of what's good about something and then saying, you know what, I'm going to put my energy on it and bring it out into the world in a way that is loving and that takes the best of it and then puts my love on it.
I think that is what you just said is so incredibly important, because unfortunately in all areas, and I think creativity, you know, we see this a lot, you know, there's been a lot of darkness that goes with creativity, especially in the past, because, you know, it was the one area that we could be free. But I think that any work that we do in the world, anything that we do in the world, it's really about, and I suppose why I really resonate with this work is it's about letting go of fear. It's about deconditioning. It's like, I gotta get all of these fears integrated and processed so that I can actually just show up as myself, because we then have a greater impact. You know, Bruce Lipton was just talking about the other day on the podcast, like, because I'd heard him talk about astrology and consciousness. And he said, yeah, well, the great astrologers of old, they would always look at someone's consciousness level first before they would ever read their astrology. Because the higher our consciousness goes, the less influenced we are by any planetary being, by any other energy. So at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, bring that on. I know part of my purpose is to raise consciousness, because the moment we get, as an individual, we get our consciousness over 500, I know that mine's over 500. I know that I am influencing 600,000 people just by being. So the more people we can get raising their consciousness, what does that mean? Moving away from fear and closer to love, integrating trauma, you know, no longer running away from the truth, but leaning into it and healing it. The more people we can have doing this and being this, the more we're going to navigate into what I believe is around the corner. And that's a really extraordinary life here on planet Earth.
So beautiful. Was there anything else? I know I interrupted you with the Gene Key thing, but you're pointing something out.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I know we were talking about money before, but from a Gene Key's perspective, just drawing on one of the gates of the Pearl sequence, which is actually your Pearl, it's your Jupiter. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 down on the right hand side, you'll see there's an 8.3. And that line 3, so for you, because I'm actually a line 3 in my Pearl as well, and it was really a big game changer when it came to money. Because if you're a line 3 in your Pearl, you earn money to celebrate. You earn money to take your friends on a holiday or spoil your kids or to create amazing adventures or parties or whatever it is that you can celebrate with money with those people that you love or with your community or whatever it is. And for me, that was such a game changer, because I had been so trying to stick to the rules of money, you know, save and contribute to others and do all the things. But money just didn't flow to me. The moment I started to celebrate, which it feels so true to me, like when I read it, I was like, yes, that's me. Like if I had billions of dollars, I would just pay for all my friends to travel around the world and my kids and have this beautiful big house that my kids could have everything. And like, I would do it just because I would, for the celebration of life. And once I started to understand that money is magnified to me through celebration, I was like, oh my God, game changer. So it's the same for you. You've got the line three and the pearl as well.
That so resonates. I just want to ask you, what is like a spiritual or energetic way we can support you right now? And what is a literal way we can support you in your work right now?
Well, a spiritual or energetic way that you can support me and everyone is, at the end of the day, be curious, not judgmental. Okay? Like, to really be a person that, you know, I heard this spiritual law, I don't know how long ago, and I always remember as a kid being that kid that would automatically put myself in someone else's shoes to try and understand why they would do the thing that they would do. That would be the first thing. Please be curious, not judgmental, because we live in a really challenging time on planet Earth. And this is going to be a time where we look back and go, wow, we changed everything. Everything transformed for the better. And when we're curious, we come from kindness and love and understanding and compassion. So I suppose that would be the energetic thing. Choose love over fear. Choose curiosity over judgment. And literal thing? Oh, I kind of feel like it's almost the same thing. I mean, at the end of the day, the literal thing is just to be kind, give compliments, say thank you, be grateful for what we have, be kind to the planet, to Mother Earth. Think about how you can serve yourself and others and the planet.
Emma, you are such a gift. This has been a pleasure. I wish you lived closer so we could hang out. If you're ever in LA, please reach out. And thank you for helping us all get closer to our authentic selves and our purpose.
So welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to my guest, Emma Dunwoody. For more info on Emma, you can follow her at @the_human_design_coach and visit her website, emmadunwoody.com, where you can find her podcast, The Human Design Podcast, which I was recently on. So check out that episode with me if you're curious to hear an interview that I've done. So you can get that wherever you get your podcasts and on her website. Thanks to Rachel Fulton for helping me edit and associate produce this episode. Follow her at Rachel M. Fulton. Thank you to Liz Full for the show's theme music. Follow her at Liz Full. And again, thank you. If you like what you heard today, remember to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Share the show with a friend and post about it on social media. Tag me at Lauren LaGrasso and at Unleash Your Inner Creative, and I will repost to share my gratitude. Also tag the guests at @the_human_design_coach so that she can share as well. My wish for you this week is that you find the courage to explore the depths of your authentic self, that you embrace the journey toward your true purpose with an open heart, and empower yourself to live a life aligned with your deepest truth. You can do it. I love you, and I believe in you. Talk with you next week.